as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio, a program of, by, and for working people. Your host for tonight is me, John Walsh. And on this show, it's not unusual for us to be talking about strikes, about the reasons for engaging in strikes, about the organizing that's necessary to win a strike. But normally, we're talking about one workplace or one employer or one type of employer going on strike or being struck. But in Buenaventura, Colombia, the entire city went on strike. They sustained that strike for 3 full weeks in spite of being attacked by riot police, and with that strike won major agreements from the national government. There are certainly lessons to be learned from that type of experience. Joining us by phone tonight from Colombia is Alberto Bejarano, who was present in Buenaventura throughout the strike and saw many of its crucial moments firsthand. Welcome to Labor Radio, Alberto.
Good evening, John, and to all the people that are listening to your show tonight. And yes, I was in Buenaventura, as a matter of fact.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you also, prior to that, for being present in Buenaventura, for all your work there. Maybe just to start, you could tell our listeners some of the context of Buenaventura, describe the background for the strike.
Okay, thank you, John, for inviting me to your show. And Buenaventura is the most important port in the Colombian Pacific Basin. Buenaventura manages more than 80% of Colombia's international commerce, and it's a city of more than 500,000 people. Most of the 95% of the population is Afro-Colombian, and there's throughout the last more than 2 decades has been under a profound crisis due to poverty, due to lack of employment, due to lack of basic social services such as health services, education, and in general suffering for the impact of the neoliberal model in Colombia, which has affected large sectors of the population, which have been excluded from social and economic development. And that is the case with Buenaventura, and that is the case with most of Colombia.
And in the situation of Buenaventura specifically, that period you're describing, these past couple of decades, that was a time when there were several privatizations of public facilities that made a key difference in the city. Is that correct?
Excuse me, John, can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. There were, in the last couple of decades in Buenaventura, there were privatizations. There were public facilities that were turned over to the private sector that made a big difference.
Yes, of course. I think that perhaps is the most important aspect of the discussion, in terms of the privatization of the whole port operation. The Colombian ports are part of the our nation owned, or they are property of the nation. But thanks to the neoliberal model that which has been implemented in Colombia over the last 2 decades, these port facilities were turned over to private sectors for their operation. And this has been perhaps what has triggered the most important social and economic crisis in the area and in general in Colombia. And these privatization policies has turned over the port facilities and the operation of the port in the Buenaventura Bay and the Buenaventura rivers, which flow into the bay. And this is perhaps been the basic factor for the crisis. Many people have been laid off due to the new technologies used in the port facilities. Workers are severely exploited. Unions are not allowed in the Buenaventura port operations and are harshly persecuted, though they exist. And in basically, the population has been excluded from the benefits of port economy. And this has created a major social crisis in Buenaventura.
So given that crisis, given that situation, could you give our listeners some idea of the organizing effort that prepared the way for the strike, the work that was done beforehand to bring together the various groups and forces that combined their efforts in the strike?
Right. Before that, though, I think it's important to mention that when I went to the region, the whole Colombian Pacific region has been also impacted by violence. As listeners may know, Colombia has gone through long years of armed conflict, which involved different sectors involved in the conflict. Basically, the guerrilla forces, government forces, paramilitary forces. There's also the problem of the illegal drug trade, which creates itself a major problem in terms of violence and the way that it affects the armed conflict. So Buenaventura has been one of the regions most harshly affected by this armed conflict, and the violence that Buenaventura has undergone throughout these years has affected civil population and civil and areas that have been where people live, neighborhoods, entire neighborhoods have been overtaken by these violent groups, and they have created immense chaos and harsh token on civilians in terms of the way that this conflict has evolved, both in the urban Buenaventura and rural Buenaventura. So this is something that's very important to understand, that not only the economy and the privatization model has affected the population, but also the violence that is linked with it. And Buenaventura has also been impacted by the illegal drug trade, which is something that undermines and is present in all areas of society and the territory. So taking this in this mind, then we have from the last perhaps 5, 6, 7 years, we've had a process of social organizing, grassroots organization from social groups, religious groups based on the work of the Catholic Church in neighborhoods and in a grassroots organization. We've had a lot of resistance in terms of, for example, of resistance to violence and to armed groups. We've had, of course, union organization, although it's been very difficult to have this evolve. But all these process, social process of organizing, have undergone through the last 3 or 4 years enormous efforts on behalf of the population to organize. The first reaction in 2014 was a reaction against violence and the need to control violent groups in areas of Buenaventura, which are densely populated. Then, after this crisis in terms of violence, things have evolved in terms of also the economy, in terms of also the social needs of the population. There is also the black organization, the organization of black groups which defend the rights of these Afro-Colombian communities. And this has also been very important in terms of their rights to territory and their territorial rights and the rights that they have, because the port the port operation in on the hands of now transnationals is interested in occupying territories of these black communities. So there has been a lot of resistance efforts on behalf of them in terms of trying to gain control of their territories and the rights to their territory, both in urban Buenaventura and in rural Buenaventura. So this has been going on for the last 4, 5, 6 years, and the result, the direct result of the economic and social crisis, the violence that has been involved, and the resistance of communities is the strike that the whole city went on strike, as you have pointed out. How should we call that, John? A social strike? In Spanish, it's a paro cívico, but I don't know how that would be in English.
Probably people would call it a general strike. Probably the term people here would recognize would be general strike. Everybody's on strike.
Okay, right. A general strike. That would be a whole city went on strike. Both local businesses, local transportation services, the communities, entire communities on strike. And the basic factor was stopping the port operation, which, as we have said, is on control of transnationals. So the whole city went on strike, and one of the most important aspects of this strike was to stop port operation, and in general that was achieved. The Buenaventura port operation can be measured through the use of trucks. More on an average day in Buenaventura, more than 2,000 trucks are used to move merchandise from port facilities to the roads and to the highways that lead the goods into internal Colombia. And on the strike day, no less than 30 to 40 trucks were able to move through the barricades and through the city that was under control of the organization of the people. So that is a good indicator of the force of the general strike in Buenaventura, which went on through 22 days and which forced the national government to secure and to negotiate with communities an overall plan of development that includes investment in social needs and services for the people of Buenaventura.
And to give people some idea of the geography, the central city of Buenaventura is an island in a bay, a large bay, and their port facilities, as Alberto is describing for us, both on the island and surrounding the bay, newer ones around the bay. But in either case, there's one road that leads from the port areas into the interior of Colombia. So everything that comes and goes through the port has to go by truck over that road, and that gave the strike the ability to shut down a big proportion of Colombia's international commerce. That's the leverage that Buenaventura had and made effective in the strike.
Yes, and that was also the source, or that was the reason for the conflict with the riot police, which is something that was very important during the whole strike, is that the Colombian national government, through the use of its armed forces, and specifically through use of the police and its riot police, attacked the citizens of Buenaventura every night, not only on the road itself, but on the neighboring areas, which are densely populated areas, because the port facilities have been built in the last few years, practically on top of neighborhoods and on top of communities. And so this has it that the trucks that were forcibly trying to leave the port facilities through this road had to go through densely populated areas, which were on strike and which confronted these caravans and we were attacked by riot police, and there's a heavy toll of people, injured people who were attacked in their very own homes. This was something that went on for the 22 days, but which basically led to a complete total shutdown of the port operation. And this, of course, as you have said, was the basic idea why national government was forced to sit with communities and negotiate. This is something historical for Buenaventura, something historical for Colombia, and it's something that has to be taken into account in the discussion of the free trade agreements along the Pacific, which of course involve port areas and port operations not only in Colombia but in Central America and in the United States as well.
And to give some idea of the repression that Alberto is describing by the riot police, and their initials in Spanish are ESMAD, pronounced ESMAD. I happened to be in Buenaventura for a couple days during the strike myself and got to go with Alberto and others to one of the communities most affected and hear the residents describe what had happened to them. And Alberto, you can describe it better than I can, but as you say, it was not just the barricades, but the communities that were attacked.
Yes, that is something that was of great impact and something that we managed to witness. As you have said, John, you yourself accompanied us. Many of the human rights commissions that were in the area in the moment of the attacks, people were attacked in their homes by the use of tear gas, with the use of other riot control mechanisms. But these instruments, or I don't know how you should say it, the tear gas and the bullets, but not the how would that be, John? Is there bullets used?
They were rubber bullets. Yeah, not live ammunition, as we would say, but rubber bullets or pepper
bullets. Right.
Riot control munitions.
Riot control mechanisms, rubber bullets, and tear gas were used intensely on people's homes. And for example, many children were injured with the use of these instruments. Even babies were injured, and the newly born babies were affected by the use of these gases that were used by Colombian police directly on homes of these communities. And this, of course, is totally illegal. And there is a big legal case in Colombia right now to be implemented due to the denounce of these practices by the riot police, but also other practices were used, were shot with regular service weapons used, firearms used by police officials. People were shot. There are many people injured by firearms, and this is something, of course, very grave that I am denouncing now. And this was part of these attacks, these massive attacks by the Colombian police on communities that were going on strike because they don't have access to water, they don't have access to sewage systems, they don't have access to education, they don't have access to health. And they live in one of the most important port operations in the Pacific, South American Pacific Basin, and in an operation that controls more than 80% of Colombian international commerce and trade. So this is something that contrasts immense poverty of Afro-Colombian communities, of indigenous communities, generally in terms of the population, and the wealth that goes on to the free trade and the port facilities that transport these, as I said, more than 11 million tons of merchandises through Buenaventura every year. So that was going on exactly during the general strike. This marked the strike, the Colombian police violence against communities, and this, of course, was deeply rejected by the population. And more than every day, we had marches, we had riots, we had people concentrating and denouncing violence and denouncing the situation. There was a very important march on the 21st of May, that was Sunday, the 21st, that more than 100,000 people marched in Buenaventura to denounce the situation, not only the violence of the police, but in general the attitude of a Colombian government to not understand the situation and not negotiate with the communities.
And to be clear about the tactics of the strike itself, prior to being attacked by the riot squad and the police, how would you describe the atmosphere of the strike? What was the nature of the activities of the strike itself?
Yes, the strike itself went on through more than 20, no, exactly through 22 days. It started on May 15th, right? That was the first day of the general strike. And it went on until June the 6th. That was the last day. That was the day that the agreements were signed. The first 5 days of the strike, we had something like, it was something like a political spring. Something your listeners would understand? Like, for example, in the Arabian Spring?
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that impacted Buenaventura in a very positive way, because we had thousands of people on the streets of Buenaventura concentrating peacefully, using culture, these communities, especially indigenous communities and the Afro-Colombian communities, are very rich in terms of their culture, in terms of music, in terms of the way that they can express themselves through singing, through dancing, through the use of the instruments that come directly from their culture and from the jungles of Colombia, which are produced in these areas and have been produced for more than 200 to 300 years. This is very rich in terms of local culture and in terms of the way that the communities have developed, as I said before, the way they can express themselves, especially through music and through culture. And so what happened during the first few days was a mobilization of thousands of people, which were basically singing and dancing and playing, and children were on the streets. And something to see, something that was very moving, very touching, in terms of how people, for the first time in many years, could express themselves and could express themselves in a peaceful, organized way, but in a massive way. You could say, without exaggerating, John, that most of Buenaventura, perhaps 50% of Buenaventura was on the streets in, as I said before, peaceful demonstrations. Of course, this impacted the port operation, and as I said before, there was a virtual shutdown of the port operation because the trucks could not pass through these peaceful concentrations, and which were all over the city. The strike organizers prepared 7 points of concentration, but only on the first day, more than 50 points where people were concentrating peacefully and many spontaneously responding to the call of the general strike. But this peaceful activity, was violently repressed on Friday the 19th, where Colombian riot police and with the use of helicopters, with the use of more than 800 riot policemen, with the use of tear gas, with the use of rubber bullets, with the use of violence, with the use of real firearm weapons as well, attacked these peaceful concentrations, these peaceful demonstrators, and then created a situation of chaos in the whole city, which erupted on the evening of Friday the 19th of sacking the big department stores in Buenaventura. More than five of these department stores were ransacked by people who we really don't know. But one of the things that has raised a lot of questions is that the police, after attacking peaceful demonstrators, virtually disappeared, and this sacking of the department stores was made possible without no police control, and police only appeared on the morning of Saturday the 20th. So the whole city was practically attacked during this Friday the 19th, and this was a way of trying to destroy the mobilization of the people, of trying to intimidate people not going on the general strike. And the response of communities and the response of the Buenaventura population was the march that I was talking about on Sunday the 21st, of more than 100,000 people saying, "We are not going to stop our protest, we are not going to stop our strike, we're going to continue our strike despite this attack, this fierce attack by Colombian police, and we are going to continue demanding from government and from the model itself of the privatization of the ports and the free trade policies, we are going to continue denouncing and demanding that social needs and the demands of the population be met by this model and by the policies of Colombian government and Colombian President, President Santos."
Now, it's important for our listeners in the United States to know that these riot control, supposedly in quotes, riot control munitions that were used against the people of Buenaventura were made in the United States. So the tear gas, the rubber bullets, the pepper munitions, all this stuff that was being deployed against the civilian population peacefully protesting was made in the United States. There's piles of the spent shells that document that. So I want our listeners to be aware of the fact that this repression was made possible because of stuff that comes from the U.S.
Yes, and one of the things that we are now analyzing in terms of the denounces and the legal claims which are going to come against the Colombian riot police for the use of these instruments is the fact that the manufacturers of these instruments, of these, for example, these tear gas grenades, instruct in the grenades themselves in instructions not to be used against people. What I mean is that they're not to be used as instruments that can be harmful for people when they are being deployed. So the manufacturers warn of the threats of not using these shell grenades or these tear gas grenades properly, and they were not used properly in Buenaventura. They were used as harmful weapons against the integrity of citizens. They were used to attack people. They were used inside homes. They were used against children. They were used against babies and newborns. They were used as arms of terror, of police terror against civil population and against communities and against Afro-Colombian and indigenous communities. And this is something that is going to has to be clarified, not only in terms of the use that the Colombian police has done, but also of the policies of the Colombian government using violence and using terror to implement the model of privatization and implement the model of free trade in the Colombian Pacific.
Now let's come back. You mentioned the social needs, and you touched on water for one, for example, and health for another. Could you tell us a little more about the specific social needs that need to be met for Buenaventura.
Yes, exactly. As I was saying before, Buenaventura in Colombia is a population of more than 500,000 people, and not only in urban and rural Buenaventura, but we also have to understand that Buenaventura is a city that has an influence and an impact on the whole Colombian Pacific. So there are many communities in rural Buenaventura and in other areas of the Colombian Pacific which depend on Buenaventura. And Buenaventura is perhaps the most important municipality in Colombia because it provides, it's very difficult, perhaps Bogota, which is, as you know, the Colombian national capital, and perhaps Medellin, which is a very important city, but only Bogota and Medellin produce more for the internal national gross product than Buenaventura. Buenaventura can provide more than $5.4 billion in revenues and taxes for the Colombian government a year, thanks to the port operation, which is the most important port operation in the whole Colombia, not only in the Pacific, but also in the Caribbean. Despite the fact that we have this very important economic operation going on, the people of Buenaventura don't have access to water. Now, this is something, for example, the water systems. And this is something that has to that we have to bear in mind, because Buenaventura is not only a rich city, a rich port, a very wealthy port, but also Buenaventura is in the middle of perhaps one of the most important freshwater resources in the world. Buenaventura has more than 500 million meters of cubic meters of water, fresh water is correct, right, John?
Yeah.
Fresh water?
Yes.
Of fresh water. So there's no excuse. There is no excuse for the fact that more than 500,000 people don't have access to water systems. They don't have access to sewage systems. I mean, this is something that has to be taken into consideration. When you don't have access to water, that is something basic for life.
In a very hot climate, too. We should emphasize it's a tropical climate, so you need water, drinking water, for survival, for health.
You need drinking water, and even if you're living in Alaska, you need drinking water. But yes, in Buenaventura, we have very high temperatures, a lot of humidity, very high humidity, of course. This is a jungle area, right? And a jungle area next to the sea, at sea level. So, yes, there's a need for water, which is very, very demanding, but it's something that we don't have health systems in Buenaventura. There's not a single hospital bed in Buenaventura of what we call here in Colombia second level, which would be something superior to first level health care attention. So there's not one single hospital bed in Buenaventura. Not one single hospital bed. Any treatment in terms of health care, you have to travel to the city of Cali, which is 2 hours away from Buenaventura, and you have to cross the Andean mountains to receive hospital care. There are no hospitals in Buenaventura.
Alberto,
don't have education. Yes.
Alberto, we're running short on time. I don't want to let you get away without telling us what the strike won. Could you summarize for us the agreement that was reached when the strike was suspended?
Okay, the strike was suspended due to an agreement with the Colombian government. And the agreements basically are investments in social needs. Basically what we are mentioning, in more than 1.6 billion Colombian pesos in investment in water systems, in education systems, in health systems, the construction of a hospital, the construction of healthcare facilities, investments in job opportunities, because that's another very important factor. There's more than 70% of unemployment in Buenaventura because port facilities do not use the labor that is available in Buenaventura, so investment in opportunities, for example, in terms of fishing and hotels and industries and tourism, ecological tourism, which is very important. So other areas of development which can provide job opportunities for people in Buenaventura. More than 1.6 billion pesos, and that's a very important sum that would be well, we'd have to translate to U.S. dollars, but that would be very important. That's 1 billion Colombian pesos, of course, 1 million Colombian pesos, so 1.6 billion pesos in investment. And there are other agreements in terms of long-term development of Buenaventura, which include resolving the health problem, resolving the healthcare problem, resolving education, resolving recreation and culture as well, constructing a stadium, a soccer stadium. Buenaventura is very important for Colombian soccer and other sports, but doesn't have a stadium, for example. And this is something that is very contradictory with the sports tradition of Buenaventura, and especially athletes in Buenaventura.
And so Alberto,
investments in all these areas.
Mm-hmm. I think we should emphasize, too, this agreement was negotiated by a committee of the leadership of the strike, representative of the many groups involved in the strike. They negotiated this with the national government of Colombia. So the people had direct representation in this committee, which successfully negotiated this agreement.
Yes, of course. More than 160 grassroots organizations composed the General Strike Committee of Buenaventura. Many ethnic groups, black community groups, which are very important and crucial in the leadership of Buenaventura, and religious groups, especially the Catholic Church, a grassroots organization in Buenaventura, which is very powerful, not only from now, but from the 1960s. There's a tradition of grassroots organization in the Catholic Church. Other churches, evangelical churches in Buenaventura, also complied to this effort. The commerce, businesses in Buenaventura, transport systems in Buenaventura, the ships, the owners of ships, not the big ships which use the port facilities, but other ships, small ships, which service transportation and supply the general Pacific coast with
Alberto.
Basic supplies.
Mm-hmm. Alberto, unfortunately, we're out of time. I would love to talk with you for an hour about this. Unfortunately, we don't have that much time. But I hope our listeners, now they've heard about this, will follow the news, will stay in touch, will be informed about the Paro Cívico de Buenaventura, and will stand by the people of Buenaventura as they go forward. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for all your work. Greetings to everyone in Colombia. Thanks to Danielle, our engineer. Thanks to all our listeners. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
To you.